All right, so to kick off our speaker meeting is Savon with 2 years.
I get 8 minutes. Thank you. Okay. My name is Savon. I'm an alcoholic. Good to see everybody. Thank you so much, LOLT, for putting this big event. I see streamers. I see these fun houses. And this is what sobriety can give you. We get to be present today with our friends and family, with our community. And I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your recovery. And recovery also includes getting our sanity back. And I'm very thankful for that. My sobriety date is December 18, 2018. I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I was very broken inside. I was empty. I was a shell of a person. And if you look into my eyes, you can just see a dark building inside. There was no light. There was no love. There was no joy. There was no peace. There was a lot of horror. There was a lot of sadness, shattered soul. And I came in here, my viral load, I'm HIV positive, my viral load was sky high. I was emaciated, I was about 128 pounds. I was drinking to stay alive, and I didn't want to stay alive by drinking. So I thought maybe if I drink, I would taper down the feelings and just shut it out. But it didn't do the trick because something was keeping me alive, and I'm grateful that I get to live through that experience. My mother, she was dying from cancer. She was in hospice care. I can say that I tried my very best to be the son that she deserved. And from being very healthy, working in her garden, she dropped down to 78 pounds. She lost her vocal cord. She went blind. She couldn't sleep, she couldn't eat, she couldn't drink water. And I remember trying to muster my willpower to sit by her bedside and let a spoonful of ice melt so I can just put her to her lips and keep her hydrated. And I remember that I wanted to stay sober so bad so I can see her on her deathbed. That's how much I wanted to stay alive. I didn't want alcoholism to rob me of that moment of being there for my mom. I remember that they said to get a sponsor. I went to a men's group. I got myself a sponsor. He said to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And the benefit of that was that no matter what was going on, I called somebody and he was there for me. He made the time for me. He had a full-time job. He sponsored lots of people, but he still picked up my phone calls. I would go to 3 meetings a day. I was in the hospital sleeping on the floor, just waiting for that moment that, you know, your mom's going to die and we need you to be here. And I learned that alcoholism is not a moral problem. It's a spiritual problem. And what happened is that I didn't have the tools that was necessary. I didn't have a faith that I have today. And what he said was to go to meetings every day. And you know, the first thing that was not foreign for me was getting hugs from people that wanted to love me. It was very foreign because I went through a lot of trauma, through a lot of violence, and the thought of somebody touching me really scared the shit out of me. But there was people that gave me a cup of coffee that allowed me to come to the meeting with my blanket because I was going through the DTs. You guys allowed me to sit there, and even when I said, I don't know if I'm an alcoholic, you made space for me at open meetings. And I think that was... And I was there long enough to hear people share, and I found the similarities. I found that I had no skills for life. There was no blueprint when I was alive, when I was born. My mom couldn't give me a blueprint. All she had was her own tools. And towards the end of her life, I was able to go to her bedside every day. I went to 3 meetings a week, 3 meetings a day. I reached out to people, call my sponsor, stay in the big book. And October 25th, it just passed. That was her anniversary. I got to be by her bedside. I was 10 days sober. And I get to show up in the hospital room. I get to touch her hands, and I told her that I love her. Even though I knew she was blind and she lost her hearing, but I still touched her hand and I touched her feet. I remember that when she told me that when she was put in a concentration camp back in Cambodia, she said, I was pregnant with you, and everything that I experienced, the trauma, the execution, all the feelings transferred to me as an unborn child. So when I went through the book, I realized I was hurt before I was even born. I was traumatized as an infant before I was born. I was born broken. But that experience really gave me something new, because my sponsors had to pray, and I was praying to a higher power that I couldn't see. But what I felt was that when she took her last breath, I felt there was power. I felt something that loved me, something that grabbed into my heart and just touched my soul. There was a moment of surrender where I can't cure her cancer and she can't cure my alcoholism. What I was willing to do was to be uncomfortable, to sit by her bedside, and to thank God that I got to be there by her bedside. And till this day, I wake up, I pray, I meditate, I think about my mom, I invite my mom into every part of my day. When I wake up and I look in the mirror, when I miss her, I can just smile and look in the mirror and allow her to live through me, because she is still a part of me. And I feel that in the big book, it says that it's a spiritual program. It's me between me and God. And it's, to my understanding, it doesn't have to make sense to anybody, and I don't have to explain to people. Just like a no thank you is a complete answer. It does not require explanation, you know? When somebody says no thank you, you don't push on them. And I realized that I have this special connection with my higher power. When I pray, I'm talking to God. I'm not demanding God's attention. I'm talking from my heart. But when I meditate, I sit down, I let God sing through me. And it could be joy. I can ask God, how can I be of service to the rooms today? Or how can I love my grandkids? They know that grandpa is HIV positive. They support me. They love me. The freedom that I get through the steps is that I don't have the urge to kill myself, to destroy myself, to look in the mirror and hate parts of me, because when I do that, I dishonor Alcoholics Anonymous. When I love myself, I'm honoring you, my sponsor, the people that loved me, the people that held my hands when my mother died, the people that helped put that car wash together as people from Alcoholics Anonymous. You understood what pain felt like. When you helped me through my pain, it lessened my pain. I know I can't take away your pain, but we can feel it together. And I feel that is the most important thing. It's, you have that compassion, and I really am thankful for Alcoholics Anonymous, especially for LOLT. This is my home group, to allow me to share and take the sacred space with you. Thank you very much.